I want to read some portions this morning, beginning at Psalm 91, a wonderful and favourite psalm of many people. And these words will be very familiar to you, but it's necessary for me to read some of this in order to lay a foundation for what I'm going to say. So we'll just take some portions out of Psalm 91. He who dwells or lives or abides in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's glorious, isn't it? What a wonderful assurance. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then it sounds like it's David's testimony, because he says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Buckler is just another form of shield, actually. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, you shall trample underfoot. It goes on to say then about the person who's living there, this is then God speaking, he shall call upon me and I will answer. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honour him, and with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Anyone want to live there? Amen. And now just some portions from Psalm 26 and 27. I was captured by this verse a couple of weeks ago in Psalm 26, where David says, this is verse 8 of Psalm 26, Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house, and the place, that's Hamakom, you're already familiar with Hamakom from my book of that title, I have loved the habitation of your house and Hamakom, where your glory dwells. And then in Psalm 27, listen to this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. That is, in the Lord and in the place. Now listen to this. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he will hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he will hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. I will sing. Yes, I'll sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy on me and answer me. When you said, seek my face. My heart said, your face, Lord, I will seek. That's David. Don't hide your face from me, O God of my salvation. Aren't they beautiful words? Wonderful. The world that surrounds us, the fallen world, really has no place to hide. The fallen world can assure nothing. It cannot assure us of anything. People try to put confidence in it. They try to put confidence in wealth or their superannuation or the stock market or investments or lotteries or medicine or science or alliances or formulas. And they spend millions and millions of dollars on prognosticating, on trying to understand what's going to happen up ahead in order to mitigate and prepare for it. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Some of that needs to be done. However, stress multiplies. We're not living in a world that's less stressful, are we? All of these things are a manifestation of the disorder that is in the world. But it's an environment in which people actually choose to live. They choose to live in that stressful and stress-creating environment. That's the foundation on which they base their lives. They've chosen the wrong foundation. Now, every one of us lives out of something. We're all coming from somewhere. We often use the expression, I don't understand where he's coming from or she's coming from. We're all coming from something. We all have a foundation, an ethos, an address. We all have an address from which we live out our lives. For some people, that address is self-consciousness. For some, it's doubt or anger. Some people live out of control. They must try to control all circumstances and people around them, or they feel insecure. Some people live out of pridefulness, insecurity, doubt. We're all living out of some base thing, some foundation that is in our lives that is probably one of the things that God is trying to transform. What's your address? What's my address? What do I actually live out from? Now, for David, he wanted to live out of the presence of God. Living out of his own presence didn't really work. He wanted to live from the presence of God. The Word of God, of course, tells us there's an address that's been made available at great cost to us that'll cost us nothing, in which we can live. And David described it. Here's what this address offers. Deliverance from traps deliberately set to bring me harm. Deliverance from mischief. Protection as a hen protects its chickens. You can only get to them by getting her. Absolute truth shielding me. Not the relativism of the world. Not the make it up as you go along truth. Absolute truth from God protecting me and giving me security. Freedom from every fear. The dreads that come when I wake up in the middle of the night. The attack in the daytime. At this address, angels take care of me. Isn't that something? Angels take care of me. They watch over me to protect and deliver. At this address, I'm given authority over that which would either eat me or poison me. The lion and the cobra. Hey, that's a place to live, isn't it? That's Psalm 91. Answered prayer and assurance of salvation and length of days. No wonder David wanted to live there. Is it where I want to live? How does it become reality? We must learn to live where David lived. David's address was not the palace, Main Street, City of David, Jerusalem. David's address, his true address, was Hamakom, City of David, Jerusalem. The place, City of David, Jerusalem. That was his address. The presence of the Almighty. That address was the come what may, it will not affect me address. It was the address of the prophet Zephaniah, who said, though the fig tree doesn't blossom and there be no fruit on the vine, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. That's the Hamakom address, the address of David. It's the secret place, Psalm 91 and Psalm 26. David knew about the secret place, Hamakom, where God settled among his people. Within the tent, among them, remember the camp was around the tabernacle? He lived then and he lives now in a kind of hidden accessibility. Hidden but accessible. The people couldn't enter the most holy place. Only their representative, the high priest, could draw near. He could go in there once a year with the blood. And that meant, then as it means now, that it's by faith. They knew, David knew, that in there, in the tabernacle, behind that curtain, above the ark, above the what was called the mercy seat, between the wings of the cherubim, there was the presence. That was the secret place, but it was hidden. But you could go there in your heart. You knew God was there, and you accessed him by faith, and David did that. And God still lives, if you like, in hidden accessibility. We can't see him. The difference now is that the veil has been torn away, and we have been given access to the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. And we, by faith, can enter where he is. We've been allowed in. We've been actually invited in. And we go in with him. Jesus is there. And we are in him. In the most holy place. In the presence. The secret place. We can go there with him. Not only is it the secret place, it's the presence place. The word translated dwells in Psalm 26, verse 8, that I read to you, where David said, I have loved the habitation of your house, Hamakom, where your glory dwells. That word dwells is the word that we derive Shekinah from. Shekinah is not in your Bible. It's a rabbinic word that comes from Shekan, which means to dwell. The presence dwelt, shekined, in there. They had to believe he was there for them. God had said, have them make a sacred place for me that I may shekin, or settle, in amongst them. Exodus 25. The idea was not only that God and his presence was in the midst of them, but that the people in the camp around the tabernacle were in his presence. He was with them, and they with him wherever they went. And we, no matter where we are physically, can be in the presence. We can enter, we have entered, any time we can enter by faith through the blood of Jesus. Paul was there on a ship with 200 people in a howling, raging storm, and the ship was sinking. Paul was in the presence. He said, do what I tell you and no one's going to get harmed. God has appeared, God has said to me, this is what we are to do. He was in God's presence, regardless of what was going on outside. Wonderful. Paul and Silas were there in the prison in Philippi, in chains, probably cold, singing praises to God. They were in his presence. The circumstances had nothing to do with it. Hallelujah. That's where David wanted to be. For David, it was the beloved place. He said, Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house, Hamakom, where your glory dwells. David's heart was always there. Wherever he went, his heart was connected by a sort of a cord to the place in Jerusalem. Whether he was among enemies, cheats, liars, Goliaths, lions, his heart was in his beloved place. He was like the Korahites, one of whose songs, Psalm 84, I believe it is, was this: blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. In other words, wherever they are, what's in their heart is their connection with the place. It was a beloved place. That psalm says that those people in whose heart are those highways, when they pass through the valley of Baca, that is, weeping, they make it a place of springs. What a wonderful thing. Because they're connected to the place. What's in their heart is not the weeping. What's in their heart is the presence of God. And they're passing through a weeping time, a mourning time, but they're making it a place of springs. Hallelujah. That's where I want to live, Lord. People like that, their presence changes the environment, changes the atmosphere, changes the climate. They bring the presence of God there. Then for David, it was the priority place. David loved Hamakom, and he said, one thing have I desired, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. It was the one thing that nothing else could supplant. It's why God described David as a man after my own heart. Because he desired one thing, to be in the presence, to be living his life out of the presence of God, not out of himself, but out of the presence of God. By faith, he carried the presence wherever he went. You know what he said? I have set the Lord always before me. Wow. Help me, Lord, to do that. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be moved. So by faith, he was carrying the presence. And this is David living under the old dispensation, living under the old covenant. Wonderful. Remember, Jesus said to Martha, as she scurried about, living out of herself, living out of what she thought had to be done, perhaps living out of her own importance, meeting expectations, and there's Mary sitting with Jesus. And Jesus says to Martha, Martha, one thing is needful. One thing. He says, you're encumbered. You're loaded down with much serving. One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen the better part, the better portion, that will not be snatched from her, he said. What was the better portion? To enjoy his presence. Martha's there, busy coming out of her own place, her own space. Mary was at the place. Mary chose and would not be robbed. Martha allowed herself to be robbed by what she believed to be the pressing requirement. The very easiest thing to be robbed of is deliberately being in the presence. Let stuff go. Let stuff go. Stuff that has no transforming power, let it go. I don't know why I'm feeling I have to preach like this morning, but I believe we have to let stuff go. I think there's some amens here. Stuff that reinforces the stereotypical me. When Jesus says, I want you to be like me, but you'll have to let stuff go. I want to change you into the image of me. Praise God. And then for David, it was the meeting and the dwelling place. His heart was to meet God there. God's heart and David's heart met at Hamakom. God had called it the meeting place. When he instructed Moses and the people to make a tabernacle, make a sacred place, he said, it's the tabernacle of meeting where I will meet with you and speak with you and to the children of Israel. It's the meeting place. God meets there with his people, and David knew that it was a meeting place, and he wanted to be there. He wanted to meet with God there in the place. It was the place where David's desires became one with God's desires, and so they flowed together. And it became the place of answered prayer. So he could write, when you said, Lord, seek my face, my heart said, your face, Lord, will I seek. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Because you're at the meeting place. It's a meeting of minds. My mind is being transformed and fashioned and brought into the purpose and will of God so that I understand what he is wanting and I pray into that. And together we move and we see God do what he wants to do. David wanted to dwell there by faith in the presence, that I may dwell, inhabit, Hamakom, all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire to ask, to be there with him and say, Lord, this is my desire, but transform my desires, that I might inquire, that I might ask what you want in your temple. It was the secure place. He said, in the day of adversity, he shall hide me in his hiding place. It means hide me like treasure in his den. The Hebrew effectively means. There is no more secure place than the secret place where he hides me. Hide me, he says. He hides me in the day of adversity in the secret place of his tent. And that was where David found utmost security and safety. Security that nothing in the world could provide. Not his armies, not his advisors, not his valiant men, not his fortresses, not his palaces, not his wealth or power or success. He found his secure place in God and in his presence. That's not escapism. It's the place from which to function in total security. And our life, said Paul, is also hidden. Our life has been hidden with Christ in God. How could there be a more secure place? That's the place of security, with Christ in God. Hallelujah. With Christ in God. The most secure place in the universe, in the world. God has you. And as Paul has been saying to us, he has your back. And out of that security, I need fear nothing. Nothing. I can walk in confidence and faith, come what may. I'm not subject to the news. I'm not subject to what somebody just said on Facebook. I'm not subject to what some phone call that somebody made. Not subject to those things. I am secure in Jesus Christ, in God. I am hidden in him. My life, every event, every circumstance in him. I can be confident, I can be joyful, I can be expectant. And then finally, the place, Hamakom, is the exalting place. And by that I mean it's the place where God lifts us up. David said, and now my head shall be exalted above my enemies all around me. Being properly in the presence guarantees that God is taking care of all those spiritual or physical enemies that may be against us. He said, you shall tread on the lion and the cobra. When we get in his presence, we become invincible. Amen. When we're coming out of his presence, when we're living out from his presence, there's a, not prideful, but there's a humble invincibility about us. I don't care what comes. I am living out of the presence of God in his strength and power. God imbibes his strength and power. We imbibe his strength and power. Our confidence rises. In short, it's from the presence that we really become women and men of God. David was able to shout to Goliath, you come to me, listen, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you, looking up at him, looking up at Goliath, I come to you in the name of the Lord of army hosts, So cop that, Goliath, and cop this. Whack. David was coming out of the presence of God, not his own strength. I come to you in the name. Where did that authority come from? Hallelujah. It came from the presence. It came from Hamakom, the place, the secret place, the beloved place, the beloved address where David lived. Why is it the exalting place? Why do we get exalted when we've been in the presence of God? Because we only get in the presence of God by humbling ourselves, actually. We can't come in saying, well, here I am, Lord, what do you want to know? We come into the presence of God with a submissive spirit, wanting to know what he wants to say to us and how he wants to deal with us. When we humble ourselves in the presence of God, he will exalt us. Peter wrote, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. But in most translations, incidentally, there's a full stop there, and there is not in the Greek. This is what it says. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt you in due season, casting all your care on him. So Peter explains how we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You see, if we come to God and say, I can handle this, God, or if we think, I can handle this, I've got it. We're not humbling ourselves. We humble ourselves by actually casting all our care on him. Some horrible thing comes our way, we say, I give it to you, Lord. I can't carry this. I can't carry this. You don't even intend me to carry it. Here it is, Lord. I'm giving it to you. That's humbling ourselves. And then he can exalt us. Then we get in the presence. Then he can make us strong in our inner man so that we're coming out of the presence of God with assurance and confidence and faith and all of those things that are his. Praise God. His grace for me flows at the place, flows at Hamakom. As soon as I allow my place, my heart to go to another place, there's a sense in which I'm on my own, becoming independent. But his call to me, his call to you, is to live out of the place rather than out of the most recent news or the anxieties or the self-consciousness or other people's expectations. We are to carry the presence in our hearts so that we're living out from that, the place where he is enthroned. Let that be our address. Always. Amen.